Our first scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Isaiah from the Old Testament. We'll be reading from chapter 35 in Isaiah, verses 1 through 10. And that is found on page 615 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word to us. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Stay to those who are of a fearful heart. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, and fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from chapter 11 of Matthew's gospel, verses 2 through 11, and that is found on page 844 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind? Why then did you go out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, those who wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. Why then did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Our epistle lesson this morning will come from the Epistle of James. And we'll be reading from chapter 5 of James' epistle, verses 7 through 10. And it is found on page 1056 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the late rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble, brethren, against one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that you help us not only to be hearers of your word, but also help us to be doers of your word. We ask that you inscribe your words on our hearts. And I pray now, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you've already heard, this is the a season where many of us are very, very busy. Many of us are anticipating the coming of Christmas, and for some of us, it is a season where we are asked to have a great deal of patience. If you are a child during this season, you can't wait for Christmas to come. I can't wait to get under the Christmas tree and to avail yourself of all the presents and all that entails. And I'm sure many of our young people can't wait for Christmas to get here. But for all of us, it is a season where we are indeed asked to have patience. Some of the early Christian fathers insisted that the original sin of Adam and Eve was the sin of impatience. God had created them and placed them in the garden and had given them everything that they need, but told them not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they were impatient. They had to be able to avail themselves of even that tree. And that basic impatience has been with us ever since. We are often very impatient people. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about patience, which is one of the themes of the Advent season. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are asked to be a patient people. Yet there is probably no virtue that is more at odds with the drift of our society than the virtue of patience. We live in a very impatient world. Indeed, social scientists often call our attention to the pervasive instant gratification that is almost a religion in our society. We want everything, and we want it now. Perhaps that impatience starts early in childhood. In the 1960s, a number of scientists, social scientists, did a survey, the marshmallow study or survey that they did with four-year-olds. And they placed four-year-olds in a room with a marshmallow. And they would tell them that they had a choice either to eat the marshmallow or they could wait till the researcher came back into the room. And if they waited until the researcher came back into the room had not eaten the marshmallow, the researcher would reward them with two marshmallows. I don't have to tell you how that went. Children love marshmallows, and so the marshmallows were often eaten. Children, of course, have small, limited attention spans, and they have not yet learned about the benefits of delayed gratification. But many of us adults are more and more exhibiting the characteristics of children. We become impatient. We want things, and we want them now. Even if it means maxing our credit cards out, even if it means going into debt, we want what we want. And we want it now. Much of our current economic distress was the result of the impatience that many, many people had about having that home that, that they've always dreamed of, even if it meant purchasing it at exorbitant interest rates. So we are a very, very impatient people. For many of us, patience is simply a waste of time. We don't want to invest the hard work and time that it takes for anything to flower and to come to fruition. You know, we want to lose weight, but losing weight requires exercise and diet, and sometimes that takes a little while, and so we don't want to do that because it entails patience. Some of us want to enter into strong relationships and strong marriages, but those relationships and marriages just don't happen, but they require patience. Patience with one another, patience with the experiences of life, but we often don't have time for patience. We often don't have time to have the kind of relationships that we would all desire. We're all familiar with the statistic that tells us that roughly 50% of marriages end in divorce. And I believe that's because we don't have patience. We don't have patience with one another. The first incident that comes along, we're ready to bail out because we don't have patience. Many of us don't want to stay put in any place long enough for us to learn anything significant about ourselves or about other people or about anything else because we don't have patience. It was often noted that in the Middle Ages, there was at one time a crisis within monasteries because many of the monks who would enter monasteries would take their vows of poverty, vows of chastity, and other vows. But no sooner had they entered into the monastery, it wouldn't be long before they left. They would either enter into a conflict or a confrontation with one of the other monks, and then they would leave. So many monasteries had a hard time keeping people, monks in the monastery, until a reformer by the name of Benedict required the monks that came into his monastery to take one more additional vow, and that was the vow to stay put. Stay put, be patient, see what God might work out in any given situation. Sometimes we need to remember that too, to stay put, to be patient, and see what God has to work out. Oftentimes we take vows too. We take vows before we enter into marriage, but often we don't take those vows seriously because we don't have any patience. The fact is that nothing worthwhile happens without us being patient. Sometimes we enter into an area of life and we expect it to yield dividends right away. We enter into an area of activity, maybe it's sports or whatever it is. You know, I used to like to play basketball when I was young, and remember the first time I went out for basketball, I expected to make the team right away. But I didn't make the team. It was in the seventh grade. I was cut. And I could have decided right then and there to give up on basketball. But I was told that it required patience. I had to learn the game of basketball. And sometimes we enter into things and we want it to be good right away. But to be a success in anything requires patience. I often hear people pray for patience. But I don't believe that God gives us patience. I believe that God presents us with the conditions and the opportunities by which we learn how to become patient. Sometimes those conditions and opportunities can be quite stormy. But as the great spiritual writer Oswald Chambers wrote, we are often planted through the whirlwind of the storms. It is through difficulty and hardship that we often learn what it means to be patient. I was reading an autobiography of a friend of mine, Dolores Brisbane, who was the CEO and director of the University of Penn. She was the first African-American woman to become a CEO and to occupy that position. And She wrote her autobiography of her life, and one of the more revealing aspects was her struggle with Alzheimer's disease. Her husband had become sick with Alzheimer's, and it was a 17-year struggle that she had. But in the midst of that disease, which was very tragic and unfortunate, but she learned what it meant to be patient, to care for her husband required patience, and she learned that patience throughout the course of her husband's disease. And sometimes we learn patience through the difficulties and the hardships of life. The word patient literally means long-suffering. It means enduring in a situation of hardship or suffering. And obviously, when we are feeling fine and nothing is wrong, we don't need patience because we're not anxious for our situation to end. But in situations of suffering and hardship, that's when we are asked to be patient. It's when we need to be patient. One of the places where we learn patience is in a hospital. You know, many of us would probably not want to spend time in a hospital, but it's there in a hospital that we have to learn what it means to be patient. We have to learn that our bodies need us to be patient with them sometimes. We can't just do anything that we want to with our bodies. Our bodies have limits, and sometimes sickness and disease reminds us that we need to be patient with our bodies, and we need to receive patiently the care from others. That's why usually when we go into a hospital, we are called patients, because we need to learn patience and learn what it means to be patient. One of the places where we learn that, again, is in hospital rooms. But it's whether we are patient or impatient, that's where we begin to discern what our spiritual conditions might be. You know, on the one side of patience is despair. You know, we live in a society where people are often desperate. People often live lives of quiet desperation. You know, despair believes there's no hope. You know, there's nothing that we can do. There's no hope, so we might as well just give up. Might as well not even try. Might as well just end it all. Despair is one side of patience. On the other side of patience, of course, is our belief that we can have it all, and that we can have it all now. You know, we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait on God. We can begin to have it all. We can begin to bring about our happiness and our salvation right now. I believe that that is the spiritual malady that afflicts our own day and age. We live in a society where people no longer believe in God. We live in a society where people no longer trust in God. And so we become an impatient people. We want our happiness and our fulfillment, and we want it now. It is what lies behind our incessant attempts to turn our own lives and our own corner of the world into a virtual promised land. We have to eat all we can eat right now. We have to drink all we can drink right now and party all we can right now, because tomorrow we die, and when we die, there is no more hope. So we become impatient. We become impatient with ourselves and impatient with life and impatient with one another. If there's going to be salvation, we say, then we have to bring the salvation on ourselves. We have to fix everything that needs to be fixed. We have to fix ourselves and fix other people. And so we become impatient, especially we become impatient with other people. We believe that we have to fix everything right now. But the Bible reminds us that we are called to be a patient people. The Bible reminds us that we don't have to try to fix everything right now. We don't have to try to fix ourselves or fix other people or fix the world. That often brings about conflict and strife and violence. Whenever our leaders try to fix things, they try to fix the world. We try to fix other people. try to make other people like ourselves. They could just be more like us. If they could just be more democratic, then the world will be all right. So we'll go in and we'll try to fix that. Impatient. But we are reminded as God's people that we don't have to be impatient. We are called to be a patient people because we recognize that our salvation comes not through our own hands, but our salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Being patient does not mean that we acquiesce passively in the injustices and wrongs in the world. But it does mean that in our work for a better world, we realize that that righteousness and justice comes from God and does not come from us. It will come when God finally reconciles the world to God's self. And therefore, we can learn to be patient, patient with ourselves and patient with other people. But why be patient? Why is patience necessary? Well, patience is necessary because God has shown us God's patience in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, God is patient. God is patient with us, and God is patient with the world. God could have destroyed the world a long time ago. God could have said, you know, I'm fed up with the way things are. I'm fed up with human beings. I'm fed up with the way human beings have lived their lives. I'm ready to do away with humankind in the world right now. But that's not the way that God treats us. God is patient. Sometimes I marvel at how patient God is. If I was God, I'd end it right now. There's some people I'd bring to judgment right now. God, we don't want to be patient with those people over there. We don't want to be patient. Let's get rid of them. We don't want to be patient with that person over there. Let's get rid of them. But God is patient with us. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ came in our midst as someone with patience. Showed us what it means to be patient. Jesus reached out to people that others called sinners, and he was patient with them. Not like we are, sometimes filled with judgment. You got to get it right. You got to be good. You got to stop that. We want you to get your act together right now. Sometimes we don't understand people. Why don't they have their lives together? Why can't they do it like I do it? Why can't they go out and get a job and work every day? How come they succumb easily to drugs and alcohol? How come they can't get their life together? But that's not the way that God treats us. God recognizes that we have difficulty getting ourselves together, and God is patient with us. I think that was John the Baptist's problem there, sitting away in jail, suffering. John was full of confidence when he baptized Jesus, saw Jesus coming out to the wilderness. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's what John said, filled with confidence. But now John was in prison, his future called into question. And he wants to know if Jesus is the one. Are you the one, or should we search for another? When are you going to start getting things underway? When's the action going to start? When are you going to start bringing judgment? When are you going to start turning things around? Jesus, let's get it together. Let's get this thing going. And Jesus reminds him that yes, indeed, he is the one. Tell John what's taking place. Tell John how the deaf are receiving their hearing and how the blind have received their sight. Tell John how the hungry are being fed and how the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Sometimes our sense of impatience comes because we have the wrong set of expectations, or our expectations are not complete. That was John's problem. And so Jesus reminds John, yeah, John, you got to read the whole account. You got to read the whole biblical account. Read everything that Isaiah says. It's not just about judgment, but it's also about God's patience. We are called to be patient. We are witnesses to the nearness of God's kingdom. We are called to exhibit patience with others, and patience with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, a church constantly needs people to be patient. And we engage in conflict with one another, just like other people. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves, just like other people. Sometimes we're divided, just like other people. We're divided by class and race, just like other people. To be a part of the body of Christ means that we must constantly show patience for one another. James, in the letter that we read this morning, encourages the body not to grumble and fight and quarrel with one another. That's what you do, of course, whenever you're in situations of a suffering. But James says, be patient with one another. Show patience and love with one another. We are called to bear witness to God's kingdom in the patience that we show, both to one another and in the patience that we show to people outside of these walls. Whenever we go out to the community, whenever we share the love of Christ, whenever we proclaim good news to the poor, we show patience. We show God's patience. We don't have to worry about trying to solve all the problems. One of the temptations of churches and one of the temptations of preachers is we believe sometimes we got to go out in the community and solve all the problems. You don't have an answer to the problem yet? You don't have an answer to poverty? You don't have an answer to the violence in your community? You don't have an answer to the lack of educational opportunities? You don't have the answer? You can't fix things yet? That's what we are tempted to believe, that we are called to fix things. We are called to work on behalf of God. We are called to show God's grace. We are called to show God's patience. But because we are called to be patient, we don't have to believe that everything depends upon us. We don't have to believe that we can save anybody. God has already provided the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. And because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, we can be patient. We can work diligently, but patiently for a better world, for the world that is coming with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are called to be patient because this world is not yet our home. I read an interesting story that I'll share with you in closing. It was a story about a missionary who was away in Africa for 25 years, and he finally, him and his wife had an opportunity to come home on furlough, and so they took the ship in, and the same ship that they were on, there was also a very important American dignitary on the ship, and as the ship entered into the ports, the dignitary got off, and he was greeted by a large group of people, and they were welcoming him with a lot of warm affection. And when the missionary and his family and his wife got off, there was no one there to greet him. And the missionary began to be a little upset. God, is this all there is? Spent 25 years away doing your work, and there's no one to greet me when I get off after 25 years. And the Lord spoke to his heart, be patient, because you are not yet home. None of us here are home yet. We won't be home until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, until the kingdom of God comes and transforms our world and transforms our lives. But we are called to be patient until that time when our hearts are gladly warmed because we know that our Savior has arrived. We know that our Savior will make things all in all the way God intended them to be. So be patient. Go out and do God's work. Go out and spread the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. But be patient and wait on the one who brings our salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you help us to be the patient people that you have called us to be. We ask that during this season, as we await the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you help us to wait with patience. Fill us with your Spirit. Send us out into the world to do the work that you have called us to do. Help us to proclaim good news to the poor. Help us to open the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind so that they might see your glory. But help us not to yield to the temptation that it's up to us to fix the world. Help us to be mindful that it is only through your grace that the world will be redeemed. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us to live patient lives and help us to model what that patience means in a world that is often impatient. Be with us, Lord, in everything that we do as we await with confidence and love the coming of your kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.